this is Kaylee Moore.
And this is Paul Jarvis.
Welcome to the Creative Class Podcast.
A podcast for freelancers.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Check out Zoho Social, the all-in-one social media management platform for freelancers.
Save time scheduling your content and reach the right audience at the best time. Zoho Social is from Zoho.com, a suite of more than 45 products trusted by more than 35 million users.
There's an exclusive 60-day free trial offer for Creative Class listeners. Sign up today on GoZohoSocial.com. It's sometimes really hard to be selective about clients and projects, especially when you're first starting out with freelancing, because you're like, oh, money. Yes, I want to do that thing that's going to pay me money and help me cover my bills and expenses. But once you get past that kind of mentality and that point in your freelancing career and you're ready to kind of get to the next level, that's when you start thinking about being more selective with your clients and the things that you say yes to. So what I want to talk about in this episode is how do you know when it's time to start doing that and how do you go about doing it and just kind of the nuts and bolts behind moving into that next phase of your freelance business.
Yeah, and I think this is really important because I think this really speaks to sustainability as a freelancer and building like a long-term freelance career, because I don't see how you could if you were constantly taking on the wrong clients or the wrong projects and it was stressing you out and it was leaving a bad taste in your mouth and you were getting anxiety from dealing, because like we've all had bad clients. And I don't think there's a way, even if you were selective, to weed out every single one. But I do think that you can pay attention to things and have it more likely that you're going to be able to be selective and pick the right projects and pick the right clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I think that moving into this mentality where you're thinking about defining your niche more or really spelling out who your ideal clients are is the first step towards, I guess, sustainability, I guess, being a specialist and really kind of being known as an authority within the world that you want to live within work-wise. And it just kind of begs the question, who do you want to focus on working with in the future and how are you going to go about doing that?
Yeah, because I think that that's really important. And I think we also need to think about, it's one thing to be like, okay, I want to be a specialist in this niche or niche or whatever you want to call it, or have this ideal client. But so one, we can say we want to work with a certain type of people, certain type of business, certain type of client, but we really should try working with a bunch of them first before we really make that decision and jump all in. And the second thing is that we really need to think about, is this a niche or a group of businesses that can sustain my business financially? Mm-hmm. Because it would be really cool if I did websites for indie bands, right? But indie bands don't have any money. So like, that's not sustainable to me. Indie bands have money for two things, beer and gear, and that's it. I know because I was in an indie band. And at the time, I actually drank alcohol. So although not very much. So it was like 99% gear and like one beer a night. So there's so many things that you have to think about when starting to focus on the type of work you want to do. But I also think that it's okay to kind of dip your feet in it first, right? Mm-hmm. When you started working with e-commerce and SaaS companies, were you like, just, I don't know that much about them, but push all my chips into the middle of the table, like I'm all in? How did that work for you?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I had a couple of clients that fell into that category. And I thought the work was interesting and challenging. And I realized that having that initial introduction into that world was a leg up for me because I had some connections that I could build upon. And I knew some people who were working within that world that I could then connect with for other projects. And so it took me a while to figure out that I could be good at writing for that specific group of people and to realize that I also enjoyed it and that I enjoyed the challenges it presented about learning the semi-technical stuff. And so the other thing was, you know, there was a lot of sustainability within that world specifically, because oftentimes software or e-commerce companies have venture capital or they have some sort of money that they, like you said, can pay for freelance support. So I saw that that was a trend moving forward, that that wasn't going to be something that was going away quickly. And so that's why, like you said, I kind of leaned into that particular type of work. And 5 years later, it's going really well. And I think switching to that kind of specialist role within a very specific, I guess, vertical, you would say, has helped me not only become more of an authority for that particular world, but it also, it makes my job a lot easier too, which is a whole other side of this that we can talk a little bit about as well.
Well, let's do that then.
Okay, yeah.
So when you say it makes it easier, let's define what easier means.
So for me, it meant that I wasn't learning from scratch every time I sat down to do a project. I wasn't learning about heating and cooling industry that I knew nothing about for the first time, or healthcare or finance. I was building upon a foundation of knowledge and expertise every single time I went to write something. So I was always learning new things about this specific industry that I could then use to connect the dots in future projects. And so the thing that it kept me from doing was, one, it made the work a lot quicker because I already had knowledge that I could pull from, and I like knew, oh, I can go here to find X piece of information that I need for this. Whereas if I didn't know anything about it, I would be learning everything for the very first time, and it would take longer, it would be harder, I'd be more stressed out. All of those things would generally make it less fun and less easy for me to get the job done.
Yeah. I think the other piece that I think makes sense to talk about a bit is the projects side of thing, where you can have an ideal type of client or business or vertical, as you're just dropping the like fancy business lexicon now. But I think that the type of project, I think, really makes a huge difference, because just like you were saying, when you're focused on one specific area for clients, you get to be a domain expert in that type of business, so you don't have to start from scratch. I think the same idea and mentality can be applied to projects, because if you're always doing a similar size project with a similar scope and a similar set of to-dos, then you can get better at that type of project. You can get better at moving through the list of what's required faster. You can get better at kind of thinking like, okay, I know this is the type of project that I can fit into this amount of time. And for me, I didn't want to take on a project. If I was charging and building sites for about 10 grand, then I didn't want to take on a project that was like 60 or 70 grand, because that sounds like great money. I love money. Everybody loves money, I think. But it would have been very difficult to kind of fit a project that big into the processes and systems that I had in place. So it would be so many unknowns for me. So I always tried to do about the same size project for about the same amount of deliverables and the same amount of work, because I could get through those really fast. I knew exactly how to do them. I knew exactly where clients could get hung up and help them through those hangups. And it was just a whole lot easier. Just like I wouldn't take on a project that was, say, a $500 project, because people are like, oh, this isn't going to take you very long. Mm-hmm. If you can just do this thing quick, I know it's not going to take you very long. And it's like, actually, even this conversation is taking longer than I thought it would. So how about that? So I think being selective both about the type of clients, but also the type of project, seems to be really important as far as getting more efficient with things, better at things, building your network for that type of work and getting known for that type of work. So when do we start thinking about getting that specific about the things we're talking about?
You know, in my experience, I think the sooner the better. I think it's good to have maybe that first year of freelancing where you're trying a lot of different things and you're figuring things out. But much further than that, I think you can kind of get into an area where you can become kind of aimless. So if you give yourself 12 to 18 months, let's say, to play around with different things and to experiment, after that point, I think it's time to start really being serious with yourself about what you like doing and what you're best at and where you see the most realistic future for your business. So for me, a year into freelancing, I took creative class for the first time.
Right.
Yeah, yay. And I had been doing pretty much any work that would come my way. So a million different things I was doing. Once I took the creative class, I realized that if I wanted to keep this freelancing thing going, I really needed to specialize in one thing and niche or niche. And so I did that, and it totally changed my business. And it made me enjoy the work a lot more and helped me build stronger connections and really just added a focus to what I was doing instead of just running around like a chicken with my head cut off. And so I think that that's a huge value to taking the course and to just committing to picking a direction, really.
How do you manage social media without it taking up all your time? You're creating, you're curating, you're sharing great content on social media.
But how do you get the attention and reach your content deserves and engage your audience across multiple channels?
Try Zoho Social, the all-in-one social media management platform for freelancers.
Save time scheduling your content and reach the right audience at the best time. Zoho Social is from Zoho.com, a suite of more than 45 products trusted by more than 35 million users.
There's an exclusive 60-day free trial for Creative Class listeners, so sign up today at GoZohoSocial.com. Yeah, and I don't think that has to be just a toggle, aimless or 100% focused on the exact type of client and the exact type of project you want. I think you can kind of build into that where you specifically, when you are looking for leads, once you get, like you said, that handle on what you want to do and you spent a year and a half working on it, then when you go out and start to look for more work, you can be laser focused with that. But because it's not going to happen instantly, you're not going to be like, I'm laser focused on this type of client and this type of work, and then your schedule is magically filled. Mm-hmm. I think you can take on other projects in the interim, but you're still actively, when you're going out and looking, you're focused. And sometimes if some things come in that aren't necessarily the best fit, but you haven't hit that enough of those type of clients and those type of projects, it's okay. But I think a lot of times, so we have to be very careful with that because it can derail us. Because sometimes we'll be working on the type of projects we want, we'll be looking for those type of projects, and then a lead will come our way, probably from somebody you know that isn't like related to you in some work way. And they're like, oh, I heard from Uncle Sam that you do websites or that you write copy for website or that you're a writer, just as vague as possible. And then what do we do? Because that happens. I think that happens to pretty much every freelancer.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's just you're working, you've got your lane, you're laser focused, and then the lead comes in and that lead's like, take my money, please. I talked to Aunt Sam, Uncle Sam, I don't know, one of them. And so what do we do?
I think that in those situations, it's one of those, it depends. Because if you're in a place where you could use the money and you know that it's going to be helpful for you, then you really have to make that call on your own. But I think it's also really valuable that if a lead comes your way that's outside of the realm that you're trying to work within, have a network of people that you can refer projects to, because not only does that make you a good referral, good connector, good at networking, it's a good reciprocity thing too, to where somebody who knows what you're focused in that maybe you've sent work to could return the favor and send a super relevant project your way. And I've seen that pay off a million times in my business.
Yeah, because I think that makes sense because not every lead that comes your way is going to be relevant to the work that you do. Mm-hmm. It's never going to happen. Your relative Sam is always going to be like so proud of you for working on the internet for yourself that they're going to be sending leads. I don't think I've ever got a... Oh, no, I did. I did one website that my mom referred them to me. And it was outside my niche, but it was a charity project, so I ended up not charging them for it. But still, it was kind of weird to work with them because I'm very good at just explaining my point of view and being pretty firm with what I need and what I want in a project. Mm-hmm. So it was weird to do that with somebody that's friends with my mom. But still, like if it was a paid project, it would have been like, no, I can't do this, but definitely talk to these people. But because it was for charity,
yeah,
I was like, okay, I'm just going to do it. But it was still weird. I still had to have like an extra filter on myself in terms of how I discussed things with them.
Yeah.
Because they're friends with my mom. So that's just kind of weird sometimes. But I mean, it sometimes it might work and it might make sense.
I think it's always hard to say no to projects too, especially when you're still in kind of that limbo between pre enough, post enough, which we talked about in another episode. You don't really want to say no to potential opportunities because seems like every opportunity is a good one and it's good experience and it's worth learning from. But I think that sometimes saying no to projects and turning away things that aren't a great fit are really helpful in the long run because then you have more of an open schedule to focus on the things that you really want to focus on, and you're not stretched super thin or resentful of the projects that you don't really want to be working on. You really have the flexibility and the focus to zoom in on the things that you're really trying to be known as an expert for, or that you want to be the go-to person for, whether it's blog posts or web design projects for a really specific group of people, whatever it might be.
And this seems like a good, when we talked in the Enough episode, we were mostly talking about revenue, but I think it really applies in this situation too. Because if you're pre-enough, then you're going to be selective about clients and projects in a much different way, because you're going to be less selective because you just need the work. Mm-hmm. And there's no problem with that. But if you don't start to pay attention to, okay, my business is going well, my business is supporting me, I do have enough where I'm at right now, then you may not change your mentality about, I just need to take all of the work on, any work that comes my way, I just need to take it on. So I think being aware of enough in this situation about being selective for clients and projects also makes a lot of sense, because it's okay to operate in a different way once you've hit that, mm-hmm. because that's what's going to help you be able to sustain your business, because it's better for you. It's even better for the client when you are selective and when it's not a good fit, because it's hard to say no to work, mm-hmm. like you said, but it's still helpful in the long run if that type of work isn't going to be a good fit for you. If you don't have all the domain expertise like you talked about for that project. So I definitely think that there's a big thing here where you have to be aware of when makes sense for you to start to be selective. And it's probably a lot sooner than a lot of people mm-hmm. think, because a lot of people get into that mentality. And I know I've been there as well, where they're like, I just want to make sure next month is covered. Or I just want to make sure like 2 months from now is covered. Or I just want to make sure now is covered. So I think that it's definitely something to be aware of. And I do want to bring up a point that you touched on, but we didn't really get into. And that was about when you focus on a type of project and a type of client, then it's easier to connect with people in that niche, mm-hmm. because then you become known in that niche for that type of work. So can you talk a little bit about that? I think that'll put a nice wrap on this episode.
Yeah, and we have a whole episode on making friends and building connections from a past season. So that would be a great in-depth episode to listen to if you're interested in learning more about that. But the short version is, I think that it's important to really focus on spending time connecting and getting to know people who work within that target niche that you're trying to find a place for yourself in. So make time to schedule like a virtual coffee date with people you really want to get to know better, or make sure that you're participating in Slack groups or Facebook groups, or you're going to local meetups where those people are getting together and having FaceTime or having one-on-one conversations with each other. I think you really have to make a deliberate effort to be there and to have a presence and to start making friendships and putting yourself out there, rather than just sitting on the sidelines and essentially hoping you get picked for opportunities. It's never going to happen that way. Yourself out there. Yeah, you have to participate. And it's really easy, especially online, to lurk and to watch from the sidelines and to feel like you're doing something. But unless you're really voicing, hey, I'm such and such, I do X, I would love to chat with you and learn more about what you're doing and what you're working on, and just generally being a nice person, it's going to be really hard for you to establish those connections. So you have to participate.
Yeah. And I think that also, when you are focused on a type of client, a type of project, then it becomes progressively easier to get more work in that field, right? Mm-hmm. Because even using a little bit of name dropping, but not in like a bad way, where you want a potential client to just make a decision whether they want to hire you or not, as opposed to, I want to hire a writer on the internet or a designer on the internet or a developer on the internet. And the more you do this, the more you be selective and you take on projects and clients that are of a certain type, the more you become known for that. And the easier it is when making connections to people like, hey, I'm so-and-so, I designed the website for XYZ. And those are people the other person would know because they're in the same industry. Then it becomes like, well, if they hired that person, maybe I should think about hiring them.
Right.
I'm not going to go on Google and Google web designer, because this is really hard to be picked.
Right.
if that's the case. You want to get potential clients to not even consider that. You just want them to consider, maybe I should hire this person to do this work for me. And it's just basically then it's a competition between you and not you, as opposed to you and every single other freelancer on the internet that does the same thing.
Yes.
And so by working in a niche, you become known as that person that does this for this niche. And then it becomes easier to land more projects like that in the future.
It's so true. I think that that's the secret to kind of making that transition and getting to the point where you can be more selective. I think you summed that up really well.
Hooray! Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast.
If you enjoyed it, please take a second to leave a review over on iTunes.
And be sure to check out our course, The Creative Class.
You can find it at creativeclass.co, which is creativeclass.co.